Come on, Mike, slow down.
We are late.
My stomach, Mike. I need a ginger ale.
Get a ginger ale and nothing else.
Are those dogs fresh?
Put them in yesterday.
Give me one. Put some relish on that motherfucker.
Open the register. Stay right there.
Mm-mm. Is that Skittles on the counter, Marcus?
This ain't mine, Mike.
Yes, it is.
Shut the fuck up!
Marcus, get in the car.
He has a gun to my head.
Want to deal with him? You want to deal with me?
Sorry, sir, but I gotta go. Call 911.
Just another movie night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott.
And I'm Joe.
And we are doing before and after reviews today, where we go see a brand new movie in the theater and give our thoughts before and after. Spoiler free.
Spoiler free.
Spoiler free?
Yes.
Spoiler free. Today we are seeing Bad Boys, and terribly not named Bad Boys for Life. The fourth movie in the franchise not called Bad Boys for Life.
It's called Ride or Die.
Yeah, and the last one, Part 3, was called Bad Boys for Life. That's very terribly timed on their part. I don't know what they were thinking about.
I think Ride or Die should have came first.
Yeah, I think they could have held off on the number 4 being in the title until the fourth movie. And here we are, though. So, look, let's get some stuff out of the way. We have a lot of thoughts on the whole franchise, and namely the actress. This is one of those movies I didn't really want to see.
Well, I didn't want to see it either, and my friend at work told me that it was a good movie and that I should put, and I quote, put my heartache aside.
Heartache.
And
so
just
weird.
Go see it. And I said, well, I am still heartbroken over him. I don't want to deal with him. I don't want to see any of his movies. I'm quite over it right now.
Yeah, so let's get this out of the way, because for a long time I've become more and more disenfranchised with Will Smith as an actor. Mm-hmm. And for multiple reasons. And for a long time, you and me would battle over this. This is one of those things that we always kind of disagreed on. I always kind of had a hard time getting along with him because I felt like his regular persona just started irking me the more and more I had grown up. Because I grew up with him, as you did, Fresh Prince. I was a fan from the day one, and I also thought this is going to be one of those up-and-comer actors, like coming actors, who just kept getting better. And I saw like 6 Degrees of Separation, and I was just like, oh my God, this guy, he can do it all.
Yeah.
So I kind of started getting it to be a fan, and things started happening in his life, and I just started getting really... I found him worrisome in some strange way. Something about him. And I think it was also, as I went on, he started making very bad movie choices. Things like Wild Wild West. And I would see all these movies. I would go and run to the movie theater. The Men in Black films. I know a lot of people really love those films. I just kept getting more and more disappointed by his movie choices. And then things like, and the television show, the woman who played his mother on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air,
Janet Hubert,
she had all these problems with him, and she kind of got blackballed from Hollywood a little bit. And I wasn't really sure, because back we didn't have the internet, so we didn't really know what was happening to this woman.
Well, she would say that he was so arrogant he never fought for her. There was a season where she was talking about, you know, she was in a contract dispute and she just wanted to be paid a little bit more, and he didn't stand up for her or, you know, come up to the plate for her. He kind of was just like, you know, screw her. And And she lost the gig. She lost the gig, and she was replaced by, not that I don't love that new actress, but she's not Aunt Viv to me.
And I think she was very vocal saying that he was not that good of a person behind the scenes.
No, she was like really vocal about him being a bad person.
Yeah, and I had heard this a little more and more, and there were things that were kind of coming out behind the scenes with him. And I think like he had had arrests. And he had had problems, and he had made light of them, and it became more and more, especially with his family life, as it became more public, and their like family became a spectacle of some sort. Things got really weird to me, and I didn't really like his wife going out and saying like, you know, this whole thing that she was spreading about how the Oscars were too white. And I really started getting really irked by it, because the way it came off to me was she wasn't really trying to spread diversity among the Oscars, which is good. I felt like it was more about my husband deserves awards.
Well, he wasn't nominated, and that pissed her off.
Yeah, for a movie that a lot of people made fun of his accent. Mm-hmm. And that was really strange. Mm-hmm. And I had become more and more just turned off. I think things were coming out with his kids, and social services were called on his family for like a photo on the internet with his daughter. Very weird stuff was happening. They had talked about how lax they were with parenting. I got to the point where I was like, okay, I am very strange. I find them very strange and off-putting. And then the incident happened on the Academy Awards where he slapped Chris Rock, and I looked at you and I said, now I also grew up with Chris Rock, and I hold Chris Rock one of the best stand-up comedians to me of all time. He has had so many incredible stand-up shows, and an amazing show. He had his own show on HBO. It was great. And when I saw this happen, I looked at you and I said, do you see what I've been talking about? And you were very like, because on all these things, you would say, no. Will Smith's amazing.
I'm not going to lie. I was on that hill. I was, you know, growing up with DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, and seeing how adorable and wholesome and cute he was on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And I just thought that he was just the best thing since...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he was just the best thing I've ever seen back then. You know, I just loved him. He's fun. He could dance. He's a goof. And everything about him was just fun and wonderful to me.
Yeah.
And then I read his book. Mm-hmm. And things started to come out, you know, gradually about him as a human being, and people talking about him as a human being. And everyone was saying the same thing. And I still would not listen. I didn't listen. I just was like, oh, you know, my brother-in-law would make fun of me. You know, how do you feel about Will Smith now? Oh, just shut up. You know, I was still on that hill. And then, you know, I read his book, and I wasn't too, it was very arrogant. It was a very arrogant book. And everything was so like, you know, he loves himself. He's, you know, he doesn't, I don't know why, I can't even explain it. He's very arrogant. And then this whole thing with like, you know, Jada and how she pretty much just owns him, and you know, it's like he's just afraid of his own shadow. And
I forgot to mention that the whole throwing out their sex life on she's put him on the spot.
I mean, she put him on Red Table Talk and completely emasculated him, and he allowed it to happen, and he sat there odd. And he cried.
And then he also did that Fresh Prince reunion where he finally talked to the, you know,
he talked to Janet Huber,
and she came off like the better person by like forgiving him.
She forgave him. He ruined her career.
But you could tell it was like, no, I forgive you. You never listened. You never even tried.
And I thought everything about that discussion, because I watched it.
It felt weird.
It felt off, and it felt very fake on his part.
It did. It felt like he was doing some kind of recovery, or some kind of, like, just doing that whole thing felt like he was doing some kind of helping his career a little bit.
He was trying to save
like,
face. Yes. He was trying to save face, and
it
you
felt
can tell.
Weird.
And like, I feel like, okay, that Will Smith that I loved back then in the 80s and early 90s is not this person anymore. He's like arrogant. He's cruel.
Yeah.
And I mean, what kind of human being lets himself get emasculated on national television And then that's number one. But also, you go in front of, national TV, on national TV, and you assault a human being.
Yeah. After he laughed at the joke,
Yeah,
you
and
can
then he,
tell it was
yeah.
like she had sicked her dogs on
Yeah,
Chris Rock
she
after that
gave him
moment.
an eye roll,
Yeah.
and then he realized, oh shit, Jada's gonna be mad at me. I better take my balls out of her purse and go up there and just assault this man.
What about this really did it for me was that it kind of opens the gates when you see one of the top celebrities people look up to go up on stage on live TV and hit somebody and curse out on live TV. The night he's nominated for best
Best
actor and
actor.
he actually wins. What pissed me off about that is that they people clapped, they gave him a standing ovation, let him cry up there and act like he was some kind of, oh, I need to be forgiven. Never once, I'm like, he attacked somebody and nothing was done about it. And what pisses me off even more, it basically okayed other people to attack people. And then the whole conversation online that really got me irritated was saying that now comedians were off limits. That comedy is now something that you could attack online. Let's just, if you don't like someone talking comedy, you can go up on stage and attack them. And now, since this has happened, comedians have been approached in weird ways. Dave Chappelle was attacked on stage. I think recently a comedian was doing stand-up and he was threatened at a bar, saying that they were going to kill him outside. It sets up this standard that we can no longer joke, that comedy is somehow an off-limits. Now, did Chris Rock know about her problems? No. But was the joke even bad enough to have this happen? Even he said, over a G.I. Jane joke? Like, seriously? And even when he put in an apology, it wasn't an apology. It was basically the same thing that he had done in the stand-up. Had done when he won the Academy Award and cried. But basically kind of like saying, oh, I have problems and I'm going to get help, which is the line that everybody says that I just can't stand. And
It's a cop out.
it's a cop out. And the same thing kind of goes with Martin Lawrence with me too. I've always felt Martin Lawrence has had problems. He has had multiple problems as well. And I just feel iffy about these now. Now, I will say I love Bad Boys 2. I really did. I think it's a fun action movie. It's like a gold standard in action films. I've really enjoyed it. Now, the funniest part about this is I honestly forgot Bad Boys 3 happened, but I remember enjoying it. Looking back on it, I had to look at my score. I was like, oh my God, I did enjoy it, but I don't even remember it very well. So I don't know if, the whole incident, that bad taste in my mouth kind of like just blanked him out for me. I don't know what it is, but I forgot the movie existed. So I kind of was iffy on seeing this movie. And I will say this, I also did not think the trailers for this movie were good. When we saw the trailers, I was like, this feels, there's something about it that's not connecting. Now, whatever's going on with Martin Lawrence, if he does have like, I hear rumors that he has some kind of problems. There's a lot of stuff like him not being able to walk around. Like Will Smith has been like walking him around, holding his hand. It's very strange. I don't know what's really going on with him, but he's had a lot of past problems. And the movie itself seems to have some of those issues. And I don't know if it was like, if there is something wrong or if there's not talking, but in the trailer, I kept seeing it with Martin Lawrence. I go, is there something wrong with Martin Lawrence? Did something happen to him? Because he doesn't seem like himself anymore. He seems off.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's weird. I guess you're referencing that incident where he was in the intersection of with a gun.
In the
He's like,
past, you mean?
yeah, in the past, or he like,
Well, he's had multiple things happen where he's had like heat stroke they blamed it on, and he's like in the middle of the street thing is when he was like yelling with the gun in the street.
Yeah.
And
And
what
he also punched a guy at a
yeah
nightclub. sexual harassment
charges. There's a lot of weird stuff there. But beyond that, trying to look past all of that, which these days it's very hard to enjoy any actor or director or any kind of entertainment producer because they all have these problems you keep finding out about. And it's a damn shame.
You know, I will say this, though. I mean, nobody is perfect.
No.
You know, everyone has their flaws. People make mistakes. People splurt out, you know, stupid shit out of their mouth sometimes. And people are flawed in general. And it's normal. That's normal. I mean, nobody is perfect.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel like how many times can a person be a bad person and finally just get the boot? Like, it's crazy. You know, at the Academy Awards, it's supposed to be like a class act, you know?
Yeah, that's debatable, but yeah.
I mean, but seriously, you're dressed up, you're getting honored, you're nominated for an Academy Award, and you assault a person? Like, if it was anyone else, they would have been escorted out of that venue.
Yeah.
But no, they allowed him to accept an award. And I just think, like, okay, how many strikes does it take?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't get it.
It's like, I expect something like this to happen at the MTV Music Awards. You know what I mean? Like these people acting like idiots because no one really takes that seriously.
I mean, it's a different kind of award show. It's kind of like a party award show.
Yeah, you know? There's a bunch of like, you know, rock stars and rappers and people who go out of their way to make fools out of themselves, whether drunk or high. And then the Academy Awards is something that, yeah, sure, speeches might be debatable and we might all want to, and it's a stage for people to do that, but giving anybody right now, especially the generation of TikTok, like, hey, this is a cool thing to do. Mm-hmm. You know, just there's people eating Tide Pods. I mean, like, giving kids any okay to do something like this just really irritates me. But I'm trying to put that aside. I'm trying to give everybody a chance. I'm trying to give... I like movies. We like movies a lot. And I want to see all movies. I want to give everybody a chance. And, you know, I went online and asked a couple other movie reviewers about this situation, about how I feel. And I was met with kind of this really odd defense that no matter what, oh, well, he's not cancelable because we grew up with him. It's that Dave Chappelle joke where, you know, Michael Jackson made Thriller. Would you let him see, you know,
would you let your kids sleep over his house?
Hell no.
But then again,
yeah. Like, but it's like, that's the joke. Like, I'm going to forgive him because he's this. And I'm like, how much do we forgive until it gets too bad?
Like, I understand. That just blows my mind. Like, honestly, how can you guys say that, you know, he's not cancelable
for this. Canceled. That's what I've heard. You know, meanwhile, Chris canceled. Rock can go fuck himself, which is weird.
First of all, he assaulted a human being, okay? I don't care if it was a slap, a punch, or he spit on him. I don't give a shit, okay? That's number one. But is it okay? Are you all going to forgive, you know, America's father? America's father, who is Bill Cosby? We all grew up with him, too. And he was raping and drugging people.
And many people were giving him a pass until it got too bad, until, like, the 100th person came forward. It's like... It's a weird situation where we kind of pick and choose who we cancel and who we forgive and who we don't. It's like, it really comes down to how much do I enjoy this person? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It comes down to that. Like, well, I enjoy this person too much to cancel them. Well, it's like, and I will say, I'm all for second chances. I mean, we have given many celebrities that people want to turn a blind eye to, mm-hmm. you know, like the Robert Downey Jr.'s, the Tim Allen's. You know, we've turned a blind eye to a lot of their insane crimes.
We have, and Gary Oldman too, who is one of your favorite actors.
Exactly. It goes on to that whole, do we want to learn about our heroes? Like, you know, people that we enjoy. John Lennon, I'm a huge Beatles fan, and the more I learn about John Lennon, the more I get disappointed and depressed.
Yeah,
and
it just goes along with how people are flawed.
Yeah,
you know,
and anybody in celebrity getting treated like they can do whatever they want. I think it just goes to show you how weird it is. And it's also weird. I think the cancel culture is bad in itself.
Yeah.
Because I feel like people should be given a chance. They should go to have their day in court or whatever. And people do make mistakes. But I can't always just be like, you know what? I'll give him a pass. I can't do that, especially when it's something really vile that it just get turned off. I don't want to be in part of that culture that's like, I don't want to be on the side of the fence with either of these topics where I'm on the side of the fence like, oh, we give him a pass because we grew up with him, which is just saying like, you know, he's a part of my generation, so I'm okay with it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be on that side because he is a part of our generation. And I don't want to be on the other side that's like, cancel everybody. So that's why we're going to see this movie. I did enjoy part two. I did enjoy part three. So I am willing to give this a chance, but I definitely think it has to be put out there. Things are bad. And when things are bad, they should be pointed out. Yeah. And I don't think people should just get a slap on the wrist sometimes. I think people should definitely be like told, no, this is wrong. But I don't think that we should cancel these people. You know, there's people getting canceled because they have opinions. I think that's stupid. I think that needs to be thrown out. It's okay to have opinions.
Yeah.
It's okay to make mistakes. And I'm going to, you know, say, okay, I still will go and enjoy your media anytime. And reason I think that we need to put this out in the beginning here is like our thoughts, because I don't want it to sway my opinion on the film. And but I do think it's necessary to point out, I do have this bad taste in my mouth. How will it affect the film? I don't know. I'm going to try my hardest to be objective. You know what I mean? And not look at that and separate the man from the movie. You know, I'm going to try, you know, my best. You know, it's not going to be foolproof. You know, there's always going to be that thing. It's like watching a Kevin Spacey movie now. You know, having all these thoughts that you know about Kevin Spacey and knowing that Kevin Spacey made some of the best shit ever.
But then, you know, and then you look at it and you go, several mistakes.
More than several. But yeah.
Several is a lot.
A lot. Know? Yeah. And that's the thing. Now, how do we look at it? You know what I mean? It's that weird sensation that you have where you're just like, dude, how do we separate? How do we do this? How do we look at everything? Even if, you know, I think in Kevin Spacey's chance, I think a lot of his stuff was thrown out of court. We still have this bad taste in our mouth.
Yeah, there's a bad taste, you know, and he was one of my favorite actors, too.
Exactly.
You know, but I feel like it is that Michael Jackson thing. It's like it is.
It really does,
you know,
come
like,
down to this.
Michael Jackson was severely, like, mentally, you know, ill.
Yeah.
I think he was. However, you know, when you hear PYT, you're gonna dance, you know.
It's so
you're gonna,
odd.
You can't,
it really is.
You know, you still you hear these songs from, you know, the 80s and Michael Jackson just killing it, you know, and you can't help but you still want to dance. You still sing along because you have to separate the person from
the art from the artist.
You know,
it sucks. It
to
is
have
weird
to do that.
Yeah.
But yes, I think he was mentally ill, and yes, I do think he did terrible things.
It seems like he did, yeah.
But in this situation, like, I'm sure that I will maybe get over it with Will Smith, but I gotta tell you, ask anyone who knows me, you know me better than anyone, how much did I love Will Smith? There's no way I could ever.
Yeah, I bought every...
Be upset
you have
with
every
him.
Fresh Prince DVD.
I have Fresh Prince DVD. I have music on my phone. I'm still jamming. I love him. And so when I tell you that it was a heartbreaking thing, like, it's not even just one incident. It's over the years of learning how arrogant he is.
Yeah.
And reading his book and all this stuff. And I'm crushed. So I am not going to lie to you.
Weird.
I'm going in. I'm a little.
Yeah.
I'm a little on the fence here.
And I would like to say this, too, because I didn't think the trailers looked so good. I hate to say that it was only because of the two actors involved. I didn't think the jokes were hitting in the trailer, which is that running thing too that we talk about on the show, is that when you see a good trailer, usually the movie's bad, and a bad trailer, the movie's actually pretty decent.
Yeah.
So I would like to, I can't wait to find out. And I also hear people talking very good about this movie, which is making me want to see it.
Yeah, same. Yeah, yeah.
We've had many people, and yes. I even asked these people, I was like, look, like, I have this bad taste in my mouth, mm-hmm. but if you say the movie's worth it, I will go check it out.
Yeah.
And I will give it a chance. And I really want to have that debate with people. That, well, not debate, more of a conversation about, how we look at things. So I think it's mm-hmm. very important. And I think it's also good to do instead of just shutting down the conversation, which in one hand I was met with, which it kind of sucks. You know, I think the open debate is there for anything. I think that people could just have conversations on things they love.
Right. Well, I should just put it out there that I was one of those people. So like the people that you're dealing with online that are like, no, I was that person. I was like, don't you dare talk bad about Will Smith to me. It was like that. It was like that. But now, you know, I've learned a lot about who he is as a person. It changes my mind. But I mean, a lot of people are shocked at, you know, you haven't seen Bad Boys yet? What's going on? Yeah, he's your boy. He's your boy.
We see everything. But yeah.
It's, yeah, especially since we see everything. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to go.
It does feel weird. And I do like a good action film, and I feel like I've been missing it this year so far.
Yeah.
I think maybe there was some weird things here and there, but nothing's really been standing out to us. And Bad Boys has always been known for really good action.
Yeah.
Although it's not directed by Michael Bay, who, problematic in himself, also is an incredible filmmaker for action.
Yes.
The man knows how a good shot.
Mm-hmm.
If we can make fun of him all we want, but the guy knows how to direct an action
scene.
He's
on that list of freaking fucked up shit that people have done.
Okay. That's what I said. Problematic as well. So, yeah. But yeah, he's not. The directors for this movie are the same as the last two movies. Mm-hmm. I mean, the last movie. They've also, it's like a pair of directors. I think they worked on Miss Marvel recently, the show, which is cool because there were some fun little action scenes in there. Okay.
Okay, let's go see it.
Let's check it out and give it our best opinion.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go.
Hey, Reggie, did you eat my snacks?
No, sir.
You ate my snacks, didn't you? You need to get a job.
I'm a U.S. Marine, sir.
Well, then you need to deploy.
Dad, look.
We now have evidence that the late Captain Conrad Howard of Miami PD was working directly with drug cartels for years.
Captain Howard is being framed.
Let's go.
What the hell?
He's texting us from the other side.
No, he's not, Marcus.
If he's seeing this, I'm probably dead.
Fuck! Fuckers! Fuck them all!
I don't know how high up this shit goes, but I don't trust anybody. You're my bad boys. Now clear my name.
You should be careful.
Hello, and we're back. We're back. We saw a movie. We saw Bad Boys, Not for Life. We saw Bad Boys, Ride or Die. Jojo, what you think?
Hi.
You want to start with any positives, negatives? What do you want to start with?
Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's start with the positives.
Positives. Martin Lawrence. Martin Lawrence steals the show.
Martin Lawrence stole the show by being completely ridiculously extra and over the top.
Yeah, it worked.
But it really did work.
Except when it didn't. There's a negative to this positive.
At some point, and I don't know if you feel this way, he kind of lost his whole entire mind. Like, I feel like
that was a part of the plot.
Over the top. I mean, I think Martin Lawrence, the actor, like, went over the top with it. I think more over the top than he was directed to.
It seemed like at points he was struggling in scenes. I don't know what was, but that's behind the scenes stuff. Who knows what's going on there? But I loved the insanity of the character, but my negative to it is that at points the movie forgot that he had that plot line because it came and went whenever it decided it felt like it should.
Mm-hmm.
There's like an entire plot point of this character thinking like, oh, he's unstoppable, but then it just disappears off and on. And also the character goes from complete bliss to anger off and on when it feels like it, when it needs a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually happens in one scene. He finally gets home and he's talking about how happy he is and that he wants to have sex with his wife. And he's like, oh, I need electrolytes. But then he goes and looks for snacks and then gets mad. And I'm like, did they really just forget the entire plot point of this character? Like what he's going through right now? And the movie just decides off and on to forget about it. And at the end, it completely acts like it forgot.
Yeah.
And that's really strange. It's odd because I think that is a heavy negative that the movie does this a lot. It constantly just goes, oh yeah, we're doing something here and we forgot about that, but we're going to go act like that's a thing over here now. And we're going to be so quick, mm-hmm. which I think is also a strength of the movie, is that it's moving so fast and so erratic that it is one of those movies that will make you dizzy in forgetting how bad certain other things are.
Yeah, 100%.
I think that it's one of those rare times, and I think the Bad Boy movies do that really well. It's one of those rare times that that's actually a positive.
Yeah.
That the numbing of the insanity is so much fun that you just kind of stop giving a shit.
Yeah.
It's actually strength. I also I think another positive is the characters. A lot of the side characters are actually kind of interesting.
Yeah, there was an addition of two characters that I really cared about in this.
If it's the other two team members.
Yeah, the other two team members. Well, they kind of were given more to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Here, so I was happy about that.
And also the returning character of Will Smith's character's son.
Yes.
He actually steals a lot of scenes, too. Like, he's a scene stealer in all the scenes
he's
in.
He does. He's actually quite attractive.
Yes.
His name is Armando. I knew you were gonna say that. Yeah, he's quite attractive.
Yeah.
But there's no ugly people in this movie. I feel like the internet was blown up and upset over the replacement for Martin Lawrence's wife.
Oh,
she was played by a different actress. This actress here in this movie is Tasha Smith. And she was played by a different actress in the last movie, and they were the internet's like all upset over that. But well, I thought that there was the previous actress; she was suffering from an illness or something.
That's a shame.
I think she's okay, but there was something up with her. They had and they replaced her.
It's one of the things of the Bad Boy franchise that kind of is bizarre: the acting like things never happened or characters have disappeared. It's like, it's definitely one of the things in the movie that bothered me is the complete lack of giving a shit of reality. And, you know, you're setting it up that Martin Lawrence has a sister and that there was like a romance there and then there's like no more. Mm-hmm. And she was also some kind of agent of some sort because everybody in this movie is like some kind of government official.
Mm-hmm.
And she just disappears. I mean, it's kind of important, things that happen to her brother, and she's never around.
Right.
Just like when that character wakes up in the hospital, and his wife is just not home.
Yeah, it's weird. His wife is not with him.
Yeah, not with him, but she's just sitting at home, and his best friend, who should be on his honeymoon, is just sitting there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the movie just, like, stop thinking. It's like when you see Will Smith's character, who is a cop. And his new wife. Yeah. I don't know why I'm saying that like that. New wife, who is a physical therapist, own a mansion, and also driving the most expensive cars. Like, and I actually think the movie forgot what kind of car he was driving in the beginning. Didn't it change?
Well, he was driving a Porsche in the beginning.
And then was it black?
Yeah, he was driving the same car.
Okay, so it was always the same car. Okay,
yeah, but he's living
at one point.
In...
I was like, wasn't it a different color before?
No, it was black. It was the same car.
God,
but
I thought it was silver.
He was living in like this mansion that I'm sorry, Oprah Winfrey lives in this mansion.
We live in Florida, so we know the price of those homes.
Yeah, and Star
we're
Island.
Like, come on, don't even pretend for a minute that this is their house.
A cop on a cop's budget, like a cop's. Pay scale, he's affording this house. It had to be no less than $6 million, this house. Okay, it's not even a house. Yeah. It is a mansion.
And there's a shot in it where characters are in the house, like, doing detective work. And you see above him, above those characters, I mean, it looks like doorways to, like in the front of a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
But then I realized, no, it's Will Smith's character's paintings.
Mm-hmm.
He has really expensive paintings on the wall in the balcony above them with the lights on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's in a, like you said, like an extremely rich person's mansion.
Yeah, and they want you to know it's a Miami mansion. Yeah, for sure.
But it doesn't make sense with the characters. Like, it seems like they're all criminals. Like, when you find out that one of them is, like, a criminal, they're embezzling money. That's, like, the plot point, right? And, yeah, look what they drive and where they live. I mean, it's not too shocking how insane it is.
Yeah. Well, without going into plot, I would say that another perk aside from, you know, Martin Lawrence, I would think that a pro would be, I like the camaraderie between all the characters. And
yeah, the characters themselves are a huge strength. It's the mm-hmm. reason the movie works. Is yeah. that the characters are so likable.
Well, not just between the two of them.
Yeah, but everybody. Like, their core group, the people they know, like, the connections, the bonds are really kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Even when they're absurd, you're like, oh, I'm interested. I'm like, oh, they got a pilot with them. Oh, there's a cool pilot. I wonder what's going on with that pilot. It looks like he's just came from Margaritaville. I wonder who that guy is. He's a cop of some sort. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, what's happening in his journey? I want to know. It's like so silly. It's just weird stuff. But Martin, anything with Martin Lawrence's life steals the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And also the directors. Yes. The directors are the reason this movie is so much fun in a bizarre, insane way. They're doing all they can to go outside of the box and be Michael Bay times 50,
mm-hmm.
which is a lot of fun. And I really appreciated a lot of the opening camera jokes, shooting through a watch, shooting through a hot dog case to show Martin Lawrence's face, like, shaped funny,
mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. I'm like, I really appreciate this. And there is a standout, the action's insane too. I mean, mm-hmm. I would say that a lot of it, like, there's elements of it that piss me off because we're on Fast and the Furious level here.
Mm-hmm. We are.
And I think that's what happens to all these franchises as they go too long.
But I will say, they both got fucked up pretty good. They did.
I'm appreciating the fact that they have wounds. Although those wounds seem like they're just like paper cuts.
I mean, Will Smith, yes. But Martin Lawrence gets fucked up at the end here
that they are just like, hey, yeah. Forget about that. Just happened. We're going to move on to another thing now. And I'm like, fuck that. That was not, he shouldn't have an arm, but okay, whatever. but there's a lot of that. And, what?
Wait, don't give away anything.
I wasn't giving away anything. Okay. I'm just saying that there's a lot of silly, the reactions to it, but I do love their attempts at trying to do new camera stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not particularly fond of the first-person shooter aspect that they did in, like, a video game. I know that they released behind the scenes where Will Smith was spinning the camera himself and mm-hmm. walking around with the camera rig. I don't think it worked as well because the villains were also acting like characters in a video game. They were just walking into gunshots. It didn't feel like it was, like, stellar, but I do really love the drone camera work moving through at the gunfight.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very cool. There was a lot of that kind of stuff. And there is a particular fight that even if it was silly, it had me dying laughing. It's where they're in a, like a night, they're not in a nightclub, they're at an art exhibit. Mm-hmm. And Martin Lawrence is trying to eat while they're having a gunfight. Very funny. Yes. I could have watched that forever.
Yeah.
I was dying up during it.
Because Martin Lawrence does this face throughout the whole movie that makes him almost like childlike.
Yeah.
It's so funny. But let's talk about the cons. Okay.
Well, I think I'm peppering them in really well here. There's a lot of the cons are heavy in those areas that are also positives, which is crazy. It's like the wanting to be the Fast and the Furious and John Wick.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this natural progression of a lot of action movies these days. And I think this movie is showing that. But luckily, I think that's always been the strength of the Jerry Bruckheimer, Don Simpson name that you see in the opening of this, that production logo. which has always been kind of just synonymous with great action, silly movies that you're just having fun with.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie definitely fits in that genre. You know, the Rock, the Con Airs, all that fun, the Armageddons. And it definitely fits in, but that problem is always going to be persistent. Like, it's just going to keep popping out at you that the action is also becoming, is evolving into superhero level. And when cops become better shooters than SWAT or like Navy SEALs, you start going, okay, it's a little absurd.
Yeah.
And you can't help but your mind is doing that uncanny valley kind of thing where you just know something's wrong here and you can't help but look at it. But luckily, because of the characters, because of the plot, you're kind of just like okay with it. And I know it's one of those things that the more you think about it, the more you could dissect how silly this movie is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
100%. I felt there's a lot of... I mean, the plot was very weak, standard plot, I thought. I think they could have done better with the plot. But, I mean, I think they did okay, considering, you know, this is, what, the fourth movie?
Yeah.
And I don't think there's anywhere else to go at this point.
No.
But they did a lot of things that they threw in some basic plot things that, you know, needed to be in there because movie.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I really think that, and also I'm happy that there wasn't just the standard Will Smith, you know, being the egomaniac. I mean, he was an egomaniac, but I think that Martin Lawrence's character, like the way he was in this movie, kind of drowned whatever shit that Will Smith was pumping out.
Yeah.
I think he drowned that out, Martin Lawrence. So I think that they worked off each other pretty well. And, I mean, just so you know, I'm saying good things about this movie. I'm still mad though.
Well, to point this out,
saying.
I definitely have to say this because we were talking about, I was kind of already touching on the idea of that action stars now and action movies in general are becoming more of this not understanding what makes good action anymore. The characters are like all what I guess what they think is popular, which is this idea that superheroes are unstoppable. I think they're missing the point that the best superheroes or the best action star are the people who feel real, but going through crazy odds and coming out at the end as a hero.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that trend is ruining movies for me. I know it's not just because of this movie. This has been a problem with me for a lot of action movies recently, and I've been downing them because of this. And I will say that this movie is like 50-50, which is really weird. And I think that it really comes down to the two characters and the two actors and who they are in real life. I definitely think here where the balance is that Martin Lawrence is willing to make a fool out of himself.
He is.
And mm-hmm. he is. So his character, and I'm guessing it's okay for him to be hurt and him to go through things. And I think that and also be the comic relief. Like, he's almost the punching bag. Whereas the opposite happens with Will Smith, where his character is... Now, they did do something that was at least smart, where they gave him a character thing. And it comes out of nowhere, and it's not really finalized or discussed of why. It's just there, but it does humanize him a little bit.
They made him vulnerable.
They made him a little vulnerable when they feel like they needed to.
Yeah.
But the problem is, he is not like the Martin Lawrence side. He doesn't get hurt. He doesn't really go through the ringer.
Right.
He's kind of like perfect when he needs to be. But they found a way to like, they gave him what I would say is the kryptonite, which is really weird. But it did at least humanize him enough. Mm-hmm. I have to admit, I know that I think we did a whole bunch of episodes on talking trash of the Fast and the Furious movies where I talked about their contracts. A lot of the guys in the Fast and the Furious franchise refuse to get hurt in movies or lose fights in their contract, which is like, oh, my character can't lose. And my character, when he gets hurt, it's only because of his own, like, mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they can't fail unless it's their own doing. And I feel like that has to be in Will Smith's contract sometimes when I watch these things, because I'm like, his character feels like those guys. And I think that's always like a downfall of action stars. And
like, I agree with that. Like, oh, I, you know, I can't have myself looking like a punk.
Yes.
I can't lose a fight. Like, I think The Rock has that going on for himself, and Vin Diesel. And there's some action stars that have that.
And I couldn't, the first thing that happens in this movie, the first thing, well, the first thing is a whole funny setup joke, which is really funny, and it's all because of Martin Lawrence again. But the next moment is a woman praising Will Smith. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was, like, you know, she's praising the character.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that maybe he's going to do it back, but they're like, no, they only showed the praise of him.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was jarring, but a part of that problem.
Yeah.
For that thing. And I know it does sound like, because we had the whole before thing where we talked about how we feel about the two actors and everything like that. And I know that that sounds like now I'm only judging it off that. I'm trying to judge it just from the movie and not do the actor so much.
Mm-hmm.
Just do the characters.
Yeah, my whole thing right now is that I'm talking about the movie.
Yeah.
Like, I did say, oh, I'm still mad. But I'm talking about this as a movie, not just about my personal feelings. So,
well, I will say this. If you're still mad about the personal feelings thing, at least Martin Lawrence got to slap Will Smith at least 8 times in one scene.
It was fucking glorious.
I was wondering if it was done on purpose.
And he kept calling him a donkey.
Yeah.
And it was just, oh my God. It was so funny. I mean, Martin Lawrence really worked out this movie for me. If it hadn't been for his acting in this and his moments. And also, can we talk about, since you mentioned heroes, can we talk about Reggie? Just
That's what I was going to say. Anything attached to him, around him, is pretty fun.
Around Martin Lawrence's family. Yeah. I mean, it was fantastic.
Yeah, the side stuff. There is a really weird plot point with Rhea Seehorn that feels very out of place in this movie.
Yeah, she was in Better Call Saul.
Yeah,
we love her.
She's great on that show. Very strange cat. Was she in the other ones as his daughter?
I don't recall.
I don't remember, because I don't remember 3 as much. I'm glad there were some scenes in here. I was like, oh, yeah.
I really liked part 3. I did a lot.
Okay. Do you remember it? Because I didn't remember it until I saw
this. Bad Boys for Life, I gave that one an 8.
Holy crap. I gave it a 7. So I did enjoy it as well. But
Let me see if she's in that. I don't think so. I don't recall.
It feels very strange. I didn't recognize her at first. And then I did. And then when she started talking, I was like, oh, Rhea Seehorn's in this for some reason. And her involvement in the character, like her daughter in this movie, feels very strange. Like, it just doesn't gel as well as it should. And I will also say another con is that this, like, there's no mystery. I feel like this movie is very straightforward.
No,
and
it's
if you think there's like they act like there is, it's just obvious.
It's just a basic plot. I mean, it's just a, you know, very generic Dominic bad guy.
Yeah, plot. I will say that they tried to give the bad guy a little bit of a backstory, which I find fascinating, but I think they should have really explored it instead of done some other things. But what would I've cut out?
Right.
You know, you can't cut anything. There's so much chaos that it's like worth the viewing.
It's literally chaos from minute one. And
it never stops.
It never stops. If you're going for, if you want a full-on action movie with very funny moments and some pretty badass ones too, this is the movie for you to watch if you want to have all that.
And I can see why it's making money, because it is the theater experience you want.
Yes, you do.
I've noticed recently the movies that you would think would be more popular aren't, because I think there is like a niche that, like, movies like Furiosa didn't do well, because I think that it's kind of a culty thing and people, whatever, you know, but I notice movies that are like these huge spectacle, bizarre, you know, like just silly fun movies like Godzilla Kong and this are making money.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, these are the kind of movies you want to see on screen. I mean, watching King Kong and Godzilla breakdance on Brazil is, I mean, just hilarious. And the same thing goes here. Just watching Miami be completely just, it's so silly. It's just so silly. They're on a bridge fighting and cars don't stop, which is another running trope in action movies recently.
Well, yeah, also it's from, it's they're in Florida.
That is true.
Florida drivers, that is, fuck us.
They don't
okay?
give a shit.
Fuck us all.
That's true. That is true. You got me. I actually like this on that bridge scene. Martin Lawrence just gets on a hood of a car and the guy keeps going.
He just keeps going.
He's
that,
like, okay.
That would happen.
I got
that would
you.
Happen here in our state. But, I mean, what are you going to give us a score-wise? Did you like it as much as the last one?
See, that's the thing. When I saw my score, I went, oh, I must have really liked it, but I can't remember a damn thing about it. And then I started remembering, as I had to think, I go, oh yeah, Will Smith's character had a kid, and it had something to do with his mother. And I was like, I think Joey Pants died in it or something. And I just didn't really remember.
Mm-hmm.
I had to really work hard on thinking about it, which makes me go, in the long run, I guess it wasn't that good if I don't remember anything about it. But I think the same thing goes into this movie, where I think I had fun enough, but I definitely was sitting there and there was some stuff that I was like, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what? Why? This is so cheesy, so ridiculous. And one particular in the helicopter scene, I was scratching. Like, I was antsy because I was so mad that something they were doing in the scene. I was like, fuck you, movie, for acting like this is possible.
Yeah.
But whatever.
It was over the top.
But that was next level. That was next level.
It was.
Insane.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to give it a 6.
Same.
Yeah. I am on the fence, though. This is one of those rare movies where I was like, this is a stupid amount of fun. And I can see why someone would give it a 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
And I think I can't bring myself there because I feel like with seeing as how I don't remember the last one very much at all, I gave that I guess walking out of the theater, I was like, oh, I'm pumped because it was so silly and it was so fun. It's the thing I call the Emmerich effect. I don't know if I talk about it on the show enough, but I call it the Emmerich effect, where you see a movie. Like Roland Emmerich, the director, has made all these spectacle movies. He does disaster films. So he did like ID4 and he did 2014, The Day After Tomorrow, and all these movies. And in those movies, you watch it and it's so much spectacle that you can't even think straight. When you come out and you go, man, that was great. And then you think about it for like a day and you're like, oh my God, was that dog shit? Like, I think it might have been dog shit. And I call it the Emmerich effect, that he just numbs your brain to thinking that you saw something good because you saw so many explosions and so many cool, crazy things that you never got to see. And I think that goes here. I think that this might be becoming the Emmerich effect for me, where I'm just like, the camera work, the explosions, the gunfights, and the silly Martin Lawrence stuff is so much fun that whatever else is bad in the movie, I can't see it.
That's true.
And so I think I'm just going to go with 6 because I'm pretty damn sure the more I think about this tomorrow, the more I'm going to be like, yeah, that was pretty stupid.
Yeah, we'll probably watch a pitch meeting and
oh, I can't
and
wait.
He'll point it out and we'll be like, oh, motherfucker.
God, I love it because I always like go to his comments and I write stuff and I go, please, please, please say this. Because I saw some things that I know are a problem. And I have many on this movie that I kind of touched on but didn't give away. But I would love to tell him, oh my God, you gotta mention this.
Like,
you gotta
he mention would this. Be like... Eating black jelly beans is tight.
Oh, that joke was so
that
perfect.
Was such a perfect joke.
Perfect joke. Yeah, we're both giving a 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, as all my personal feelings aside, I'm looking at it as a movie. And, yeah, I think this was fun. It was fun.
When I was watching it, and I think you probably can agree, didn't think about it at all.
I didn't either.
No, I didn't think about the personal stuff. No. I just watched a fun, stupid movie.
I did,
and I did enjoy myself.
Yes, I did. I did enjoy myself.
Yeah.
I can't even tell you that, you know, when I was... I honestly, I thought that when I first sat down, I was just going to be like mulling it over, like, oh man, I know I'm not going to like this movie because our personal feelings and what we were talking about. But I just threw it all out of my head and sat down and enjoyed the movie. And that's exactly what happened. I enjoyed the movie.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it was great. Okay, so it's not.
No.
But it was an enjoyable experience where if this was on TV, I would not change the channel.
Well, I got to ask you this. I'm going to ask you this last question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that it is wearing thin now?
Yes, I think this should be it.
I think, do you think that there's a number where movies should stop?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. And I feel like that's true for slashers too. And, you know, I love slashers.
Unless they can feel like figure out a way to reinvent themselves. Like, true. I know people like, they laugh at the space or the franchise going on and actually, you know, oh, what are we going to add as a wife, or we're going to add a baby. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, those are tongue in cheek done on purpose to keep the franchise alive. When Jason goes to space, it's just so stupid that mm-hmm. you have to laugh at it.
Of course.
They know that. They're mm-hmm. doing it on purpose. I kind of appreciate that. At least they're admitting it, like what they are. But when a movie goes on for too long, like let's say like Daniel Craig's James Bond or any of the James Bond actors.
Yeah.
After a while, I'm like...
I don't know. The taste has gone out of your mouth. You're just like, eh.
Yeah, it's a rarity when a movie goes on five movies or six movies and you're like, still kind of good. It's like a rarity for
me. That is rare. Yeah.
I think maybe the Rambo franchise has always shocked me. It always keeps coming back pretty strong. And that's like six movies.
That's true. But like, you know, when I say like horror movies and stuff, even like they could have ended Scream ages ago. You know, the Fast and the Furious needs to stop. It's enough already. We're sick of it.
It's like you said, Scream. It's like now it's time to change. Go somewhere else. Do a new direction.
Else, yeah.
And unfortunately, they just keep doing the same things.
Mm-hmm.
I think that all franchises are like really can't. You know, I was thinking about Lethal Weapon. It's hard not to talk about Lethal Weapon while thinking about any buddy cop film for me. Because Lethal Weapon is like a gold standard in buddy cop films. And that movie franchise went on, I believe, four movies.
Mm-hmm.
And in that fourth one, they really found a way to go, yeah, we're old men and we got to stop. And I think I like that. And I feel like that is a point where you go, yeah, enough's enough. At least we're admitting it.
Well, remember, Danny Glover was just 40 years old when he was too old for this shit.
Well, we're too old for our shit.
Well, I gotta tell you, someone didn't give the memo to Harrison Ford because he's 80 and he's still doing Indiana Jones.
And so you can see that franchise running out of steam.
It's running out of, a lot of them are running out of steam, but I will say this should be the end of this, in my opinion, because Martin Lawrence, I mean, he's got, you know, he's a dad, he's got the whole, he doesn't have it in him anymore. I don't think he does. I think that they should end it here.
And I think it's a good spot.
It is a good spot.
I mean, it definitely didn't feel like the ending in the movie is an ending.
It never does, though, you know?
That's a shame.
They always leave it open just in case.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, I didn't hate this. I actually thought it was fun. So, yeah, I would say go see it if you haven't already.
And I know, like, when people say like they're spending money in the movie theater, and that's like a no. I understand that. That's expensive to go see a movie these days. But if you have, like, the movie pass or whatever, yeah, it's a definite watch.
Yeah, I highly recommend the Regal Unlimited. It is worth it.
Yeah, a lot of people don't have Regal, and I don't know, the movie theaters are doing so bad right now. But I get worried every day they'll take it away.
I mean, Don't other theaters have their own thing? Like AMC, don't they have their own thing? Or Silver Spot, they all have their own clubs or something like that?
Yeah, if they're still around.
I'm not sure.
See what's happening to Alamo.
Oh, the Alamo Draft House. Yeah. And that's so sad.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's keep our theaters alive. Go see this or any other movie in the theater, because we need to keep our movie theaters alive. Seriously.
Yeah, I agree.
All right.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Hit us up on social media at Just Another Movie Night on Instagram, or Joe at The Crafty Misfit on there. And we thank you for listening. And please tell me your thoughts on any of the topics we talked about in this episode. I'd love to hear it. Hit me up on there. All right, thank you. Have a good one. Bye.
In 5, 4, 3.
No! Windshield wiper ruin! It's flammable!
I ain't no damn scientist!